I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots. Margo Price brings Midwestern working class credentials to country music. From Aledo, Illinois, Margo followed her uncle Bobby Fischer's footsteps as a Nashville songwriter. While working odd jobs, she met guitarist Jeremy Ivey. The two became songwriting partners, and later husband and wife. With Ivey on bass, Margo formed the Price Tags, who joined her on the 2016 debut album, Midwest Farmer's Daughter. With its vignettes about growing up in rural America and trying to make her way in the world, Margo Price put her name on the map.
My mom was a school teacher and my dad was a farmer. And my grandfather and all of his brothers and all of their sons, they all had a farm in an area called Buffalo Prairie. They lost the farm like many Americans did in the 80s. When that farm was gone, there was something that was just missing from everybody's life. I feel like my grandpa never got over that. And then my dad went to work in a prison, and most of my uncles got jobs doing construction and, you know, road work and stuff like that. It was a small town. There wasn't a lot to do. You just try to stay out of trouble. Cruise the loop. Go sit in a parking lot somewhere.
Times they were tough. Growing up at home, my daddy lost the farm. I was 2 years old, took a job at the prison, working second shift, and that's the last time I'll let them take what should be his.
I noticed on your bio that you actually went on a cheerleading scholarship to college.
Yes, I, from a very young age, I was doing dance. I did tap, ballet, jazz, cheerleading, and I did that all through high school. I would sing the national anthem at all the football games and all the basketball games. And I kind of felt maybe a little pushed by my mother she was a college cheerleader, and that's how she kind of made her way through school. And so, I did it for 1 year. And I've tripped on mushrooms and had an epiphany, actually. One day I was like, I don't want to have to fit this perfect mold of what I've been told I had to be my whole life.
So you got out of the college scene and you go to Nashville.
Yes. Well, I had an uncle who was living there, Bobby Fischer, and he had written songs for George Jones and just about everybody under the sun back in the day. And when we would take family vacations, we'd stop there and see all the records hanging on his walls. And something about Tennessee just pulled me there.
Let's go back, Tennessee.
Did your great uncle give you any advice on how to proceed in the world of songwriting?
Oh, yeah. He gave me some tough love. I went over to his house when I first got there, and I got done playing him this song, and he just looked at me and said, "All right, you got to get rid of your TV, you got to get rid of your computer, anything that might be a distraction, and you just need to sit and you need to keep writing." And
that's pretty hip advice, actually.
It was very cool, yeah.
Future ain't what it used to be. Let's go back to Tennessee. Mount high and down low. Let's spill down where the waters flow.
It seems like you went through a long, hard climb. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the struggles that you went through over the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, just floundering in between every dead-end job you could think. Waiting tables, bartending. I did interior painting. I did roofing and siding. I sold tuxedos for a couple weeks, and then my cousin had got me that job, and I quit without a 2-week notice. She also got me another job working at a hotel, making the continental breakfast in the morning, where you had to get up at 4 a.m. to make the biscuits and gravy. Meanwhile, I had Rolling Stone, you know, saying they wanted to review my record, and I was like, well, I don't have a record. I didn't have a manager, you know. There just wasn't a lot of pieces in the puzzle, but there was a good buzz going on. But it was just that purgatory of waiting.
This song, Desperate and Depressed, you don't look desperate and depressed today.
Well, thank you.
but that song is on your first record. What led to that one?
I came in to Third Man to have a meeting.
Third Man Records.
Yeah, Third Man Records. And they handed me a guitar, and I had just written this song. And they loved it, and it was so self-deprecating and so honest. I think they were just shocked that anybody could be that open about being a loser.
So you really had a righteous narrative to be able to say you're desperate and depressed. It wasn't just fiction.
It was creative nonfiction, yeah.
Let's turn to the other side of the original single.
Oh, yeah, so Hurtin' on the Bottle. I'd sang on a friend's record. His name's Mark Fredson. And to pay me, he said, I'll get you a bottle of anything you want. And so I picked out this bottle of Bullet bourbon. And myself and my husband and Mark Fredson and his girlfriend at the time, Caitlin Rose, we all sat there and we just polished off this bourbon. And I drunkenly said, man, we really put a hurtin' on that bottle. And then Caitlin was like, we got to write that song right now. And we all sat there and wrote it, and it came out of pure accident.
I put a hurting on the bottle. Baby, now I'm blind enough to see. Been drinking whiskey like it's water. That don't touch the pain you put on me.
It really is hard-nosed country, too.
It's yeah.
Hardcore as that bottle of Bullet.
I was living hardcore for a while. Now, I don't really drink much whiskey these days. But, you know, I think it was just so different for people to see a girl singing about drinking whiskey and going to jail. And right. I was just a little more rough around the edges than the, you know, Nashville star, American Idol.
You know, it's... looking at the song lyrics about going to jail and realized that you had.
Yeah, I was severely depressed for a while and kept thinking in my mind, like, maybe I should just check myself into an insane asylum or something. I just wasn't feeling good, and that never happened. But when I ended up spending, you know, the weekend in jail, I thought, I never want to be here again. I've got to get my act together, and that was kind of the turning point.
I went back to the county jail and turned myself in, spending all my weekends here, far from my good time and friends. Things just went from bad to worse.
How was it working with your husband over the years to write songs and play? I mean, you know, we always have these sort of fictitious couples in country music, like, you know, Porter and Dolly and, oh, God, help me out here.
Conway and Loretta. Well, you know, sometimes it's amazing to work with your spouse, and sometimes it's very trying. And, you know, we love very passionately, and we argue also. And but we're getting ready to celebrate, oh my goodness, it's going to be 15 years together. The odds are not in anyone's favor these days with divorce, but we lost a child, and the odds of people staying together after losing a child are terrible. But we made it somehow, so hope we can keep on trucking through it.
On the day for the day for the new year, falling on my prairie home. I'm so far away from where I started, but no closer to where I belong.
In the last couple of years, your life's taken quite a turn to what they used to call bright lights and big city. And I just wonder, what's your hope going down the highway with what you got going?
Well, you know, I know that this business is unpredictable and it can be over at any point. So I'm just really trying to enjoy it. And I've changed in so many broom closets that were supposed to be green rooms. And I mean, we're just happy when we get some hummus backstage. You know, I think that the struggle is, although it was terrible when I was in it, it's given me character and stories for many years.
Won't you tell me how long must I pay all these dues? Won't you tell me this wedding?
Margo Price, duetting with Willie Nelson on her song, Learning to Lose, from her second album, All American Made. And we'll talk more with Margo about songs on American life and politics in hour two. And we'll dig into the vaults for our visit with Willie Nelson and family during a road trip a few years back, also coming up next hour. And now for a different song about Tennessee, one I think Margo will appreciate, Arrested Development, 1992. On American Roots.
Tennessee,
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 Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Take me to another.
Yeah.
Lord, it's obvious we got a relationship, talking to each other every night and day. Although you're superior over me, we talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Past iceberg, into rivers, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be, he guided me to Tennessee.
Take me to another.
Just
Ishi, she went down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me? Without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Take me to
let me. some other kind of lover. And yes, I believe that you say my kisses are not a kiss, but this time I won't tell you why that is. I'm just gonna let you pass. I won't last, and time will tell just who has failed, who's been left behind. When you go your way,
Margo Price singing Bob Dylan's Most Likely You Go Your Way and I'll Go Mine from his 1966 Blonde on Blonde. Coming up, Dylan himself. And then we'll get down to South Louisiana with songs from Marsha Ball and Fats Domino when American Roots returns.